Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined, as I am every Wednesday, by Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. And coach, welcome.
Happy to be back, Jerry.
So your team coming off a 19-11 win over Navy on Tuesday, yesterday in Annapolis. Great performance all around. Team came out right from the start and really took it to Navy, never let up. Navy, a very good defensive team. Princeton put the most goals up on Navy that they'd allowed since 1998. It was a team averaging 9 goals a game allowed on scoring defense. That was 8th in the country, and Princeton really just shredded them. And we'll get to some of that in a minute, but let's talk first about the quick turnaround from Hopkins to Navy after the loss on Saturday to Hopkins, which was a 14-12 game. And just contrast that with how it was between the week before that when you had to sit on the Virginia game for 7 days as opposed to having the opportunity to get right back out there and play.
Sure. Happy to share the insight. You know, in between, you know, when we came out of that Virginia game, we covered it last week on the podcast. We just had so much to work on. We just felt like, you know, we had too many mental mistakes, too many self-inflicted wounds. So we had a full week to kind of just think on that, work on that, practice it. And then we came out against John Hopkins and we ended up making a lot of those same mistakes, which was very frustrating. So I think that having the short week with a quick 2-day turnaround, it allowed us to send the message that we've got to focus more on ourselves. You know, it's not about who we're playing or when we're playing them, but it's can we get better every single time? And that's kind of what we've spoken to our group about. And we're able to put a good 2 days of practice in, and being able to turn the page quickly, I think is always a positive. I think when you schedule these Tuesday games, you know, you're always a little worried about those turnaround times. You're always a little worried about preparation. But when it comes down to it and you are in the heat of it, it ended up working out in our favor this week. But it was a focus on Princeton, and it was a get back to playing our brand of lacrosse. And that's exactly what we did last evening.
And really, you know, the difference between the, sort of where your team is emotionally now versus where you would have been if you didn't have that game to play yesterday. So now you're sitting here thinking to yourself, we're 2-2. Turn the page on those 2 losses, as opposed to sitting here waiting, okay, when is Saturday going to get here so we can play and we really got to play well? I think it's a risk, because if you lose the game on Tuesday, you're now 1-3 and you're worrying about where you're going from there. But just, I think it's like a huge cloud gets lifted by playing that game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, we try to talk to our guys all the time about, you know, it's the opponent in front of you. It's attack the opportunity in front of you. So really not to look too far ahead, you know, not to think, you know, how are we going to get this win? How are we going to get this win? Or, hey, why did we lose? It's more of just, how can we get better? How can we keep taking steps forward? So you're spot on with the emotional piece. I mean, we're all emotional, coaching staff, players, everyone involved. I think that's why we love our job so much. So you always try to just, you know, stick to the process.
So when you got off the bus yesterday and you go into the stadium there, first of all, talk a little bit about, you know, there's a lot of places you can play in college lacrosse, and you've taken your team to a lot of them, and there'll be other ones you take them to, but that's a pretty special place you went to yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a professional lacrosse venue, so, you know, I played there a handful of times, and it is my favorite lacrosse stadium, and I shared that with our guys. I mean, I loved it. I think it's a great energy. I think it's an incredible atmosphere. It is a beautiful complex, and they had it in first-class, top-notch condition. So,
and it's got a Blue Angels jet sitting right outside.
It's just an incredible experience. You know, it's always great to get your guys in big-time stadiums early in the season just to get a feel for it. And it bodes well for us because we're going to go into another big-time stadium this weekend. So it was very nice to get out and play in that stadium. Everything from the locker room set up, it was just very professionally run, and it was a very great experience for our guys. But, you know, it made me happy just because it's a place I really love playing. It's a place that I wish the Final Four, I wish Memorial Day, you know, weekend was there every year. I think it's just such an incredible town and lacrosse atmosphere.
Yeah, so one of the things about going there is, one, when you play against the Service Academy and you see the commitment that those guys are making to the, you know, one, to sacrifice so much of their college experience that most kids don't want to sacrifice, and two, to know that as soon as they graduate, they're committed to the military and all that goes along with that. And then the other part of it to me is the all the battles the U.S. Navy has fought in are printed on the sides of the walls there as you go around the field, and it just lists them. And it's a really great setting, as you said. And it's also, you know, you have to respect the guys on the other team so much for what they're doing.
It really is, and I think our guys did a really nice job of that. You know, there is that immediate respect, you know, with the Naval Academy and all military academies, you know, and there's the, you know, there's the understanding that these guys are going to work their tails off and they're going to be fit and they're going to be big, strong kids, and they were all of that. And I think our guys did a good job of separating it for the 60 minutes of game time and then going right back to, you know, to the immediate respect piece and understanding how impressive it is what these student athletes do.
One thing I noticed is, you know, when and I got to be honest, I haven't really noticed this too much when it's not when you're not playing Navy, but when the national anthem is playing and every one of their guys is standing just completely straight, saluting the flag, helmet over their heart, and then I look at your guys, you're doing the exact same thing. And I was wondering if that's you know how everybody always stands for the anthem, or if it's even more so because of where you are.
We actually haven't addressed it this year in our program.
Oh, I didn't think anybody addresses that.
No, but you know what? You see college coaches, though. You know, there have been, you know, I can't think of the hoops coach off the top of my head, but, you know, he talks to his team every year. And there are coaches that do it, that talk to the team every year, because it is an absolute respect and it's an honor to play this game and have the opportunity to do it. So, you know, hopefully our guys are always buttoned up, and it is a time to pay respect and be standing properly and very disciplined and organized. And, you know, I think that says a lot about our program. So, you know, I'm happy that you noticed that about our guys. You know, and it hasn't been addressed this year, so that makes me proud that they're doing that on their own and they're very organized there. But as for the Naval Academy, it's just a very impressive group before and after the game.
When the anthem was playing, I was up in the press box and I had to go. I was on the radio and I had to go to a commercial and I had something like I needed to get done in between when the commercial played and when it came back, and I didn't do it while the anthem was playing. And you know, because you know, I probably would have done that in a lot of other places, but being in a place like that and you know, seeing all the names on the side of the wall there, the battles that they fought, I was like, I'll wait till the anthem's done.
It's just an incredibly special place. It was a very fun place to play.
And it's a, you know, and obviously they're a top 20 team and they're a top defensive team, so it's a great game to get on the schedule. I know you said they're going to come here next year.
Yep.
So let's talk about the game itself. So now, the game itself starts. Did you have a sense your team was about to play as well as it was going to?
No, I think as a head coach,
can you ever have that?
So there's a new rule this year where head coaches have to be on the field 30 minutes prior to warm up, and honestly, in years past, and you know, I took this from my mentor Gene Peluso. You know, this is he would never be out of it. Maybe come out 10 minutes prior. You know, he always said he never wanted to watch warm ups. He never felt great about warm ups, and the more I watch it, the less I feel great about how a team warms up. But it's just different. It's different than how we start practice. It's a different emotionally. It's a different level of intensity. You've got to let these guys get ready. Everyone's got kind of their own little way to do it. So, no, I don't think I ever watch warm-ups and say, hey, we're going to come out rolling here. I think it's more or less like, hey, he's sloppy. Make sure his head's in it. Let's go. Come on, pick it up here. When really they're just young college guys going through a warm-up.
Well, they were ready to go, and it was 3-0 in 5 minutes. It could have been 6 or 7-0. Couple of missed layups and then a couple of really nice saves by Ryan Kern, the goalie for Navy. And, you know, then it got to be 3-2. And you're thinking, all right, maybe you squandered that chance to put them away early when it got to be 3-2. And I was thinking, you know, this game is going to end up being close. And then immediately it became 5-3 and then 12-5 at halftime. When it's 3-2 there, are you thinking the same thing? Or were you pretty happy that you were getting pretty much anything you wanted offensively?
You know what? We had talked about pregame and, you know, in our game plan review, just about finishing little plays. And that's something we hadn't done in our two losses, were finish the little plays. I think we were too focused on the result rather than just focusing on the little plays and let them stack into wins. And, you know, we had a play. We were up 1-0. Phillip Thompson took the ensuing faceoff. And, you know, their star player, Grayson Train, had picked up a good, tough GB. And Phillip Thompson did not give up on the play. He chased him down, created a ground ball, which we were able to gather and then go up 2-0. Within seconds of that, in the next play, Luke Crimmins, we had turned the ball over on a shot save, and Luke Crimmins, one of our midfielders, ended up taking a great pursuit angle on a ride, turning a Navy player back. They ended up clearing the ball. Luke then chased him down and created another turnover. And at that point, you know, as a coaching staff, we felt very good about how our guys were approaching the message of finishing the little plays, and we knew we were in a good spot from there.
Yeah, that was a great play by Crimmins because he was beaten to the midline, but he didn't give up, and he came back and caused the turnover and picked up the ball and then cleared it back the other way, and it was another goal after that. So a couple of people let's talk about. We'll start with Philip Robertson. And I'm going to say Phillip Thompson at some point when I'm talking about Phillip Robertson. Phillip Robertson when I'm talking about Phillip Thompson. But Phillip Robertson missed the first two games with injury, played only extra man against Hopkins, made his first start yesterday, 0-for-5 to start, the nation's leader in shooting percentage last year. missed some that he doesn't miss. And then 5 for 7 the rest of the way. 5 goals, 12 shots, but he missed his first 5. So he took 5 shots to get back in rhythm. What did you think what you saw from him?
I mean, we're happy to have him back on the field. He's such a special player. He's one of our hardest working guys in our locker room. So very nice to see him produce. Him and Michael have a heck of a chemistry. So really happy. He did a really nice job. He continues to put himself in the right spots. Very smart off-ball player, very good at reading defensive packages and communicating with the rest of the players out there along with Coach March. So very happy with his production, not surprised.
So Michael Sowers, you mentioned, had 2 goals, 7 assists, 6 assists in the first half. And Navy, first of all, going back to the Hopkins game, with Patrick Foley on defense, who's a very physical and very quick defender, did basically a shutoff of Michael. He still ended up with 2 goals and 3 assists. But it was clear what Hopkins' game plan was. Navy tried everything and anything, different kinds of looks, different kinds of philosophies. But you have to be prepared for this because teams are going to come at – teams know that he's the first guy they have to stop. That's obvious. And they're going to try everything and anything. And you have to be ready to adjust as the game goes along. But you also have to sort of have a plan in case they are going to aggressively shut him off, which is what great attackmen face all the time. Where does that leave a coaching staff knowing this going into a game?
You know what? It's really interesting. It's new for us, you know, and it's an added weight and added pressure on Coach March, our offensive coordinator, because, you know, teams don't play us straight up. We would hope that more teams did. But when you do it, when you have a special player like Michael and that you have the pieces around him that continue to make him special, you know, where it shakes out is that we end up seeing a lot of adjustments. And with the different adjustments, we've just got to be able to adapt and continue to make those plays and read those defenses. And we were really impressed with our group last night. You know, they threw a lot at us. And, you know, we calmly and collectively, you know, just made the adjustments and continue to make the plays and warm down. And we're very successful.
And then Emmett Cordray, 10 goals, 3 assists for his first 3 years combined. And now 13 goals, 8 assists in 4 games this year, 5 goals, 3 assists yesterday, the second 8-point game of the season. And in fact, he's had 8 points in the 2 wins, each of the 2 wins. Did you see this from Emmett?
You know what? Emmett's, you know, it's the product of a good hard work over a career. I think that he's always done, you know, he's a fundamentally sound player. He's got a great lacrosse IQ.
And he's also elevated his game significantly.
Absolutely. I mean, look, he took advantage of an opportunity. He's a guy that plays the same position as Michael Sowers. So, you know, you're almost Michael Sowers' backup at times. And then, you know, when Philip Robertson went down and, you know, Emmett stepped in a different role, he did such a great job take him off the field.
He had that one goal where, and it wasn't on a pass from Michael, it was the one that got through Michael. Michael didn't have a turnover in the game, but he could have had a turnover on this one where he tried to feed the crease and it rolled through, and I believe it was Chris Brown picked it up and flipped it to Cordray, and then Cordray just ripped it over Kern's shoulder from about 10 yards out. That was a pretty nice shot.
It really was. I mean, I think, you know, again, in that instance, you can hear Emmett communicating the one more early before the pass happens, and I think if we can keep stacking little plays like that and fundamental plays, we could be a very good team in the future.
And then just a really good all-around game by a lot of different guys, but one guy I'll mention is George Bond, who played his usual great defense, very aggressive picking up ground balls. But he also had a goal, and it wasn't the typical long stick goal where you pick up the loose ball in your end and you run down the field, nobody picks you up, and you have a head of steam, and you go right to the goal and you rip it in. His was a give and go that you don't usually see too many times where you have the give and go where the guy on the receiving end, or the giving end for that matter, is a long stick.
Yeah, we don't see that in practice either because that is not something we practice. We were very fortunate. George made a heck of a play in the clear. You know, he gave it to Chris Brown, and Chris Brown found him open on the crease, and he was able to finish. So we were really happy. We were really excited for George. George is such a big energy guy for us. He plays so tough. He's continuing to fine-tune, you know, his entire defensive game. So, he gets better every day, and we're really happy to reap the benefit of that play.
So with a good win over Navy, 19-11 is the final score. Should mention Chris Brown, who had a career high in assists with 4 in that game, and I believe 2 goals, and 5 each for Philip Thompson and Emmett Cordray, and Michael, of course, with 2 and 7, and some other guys with some nice. Will Kuznarek with his first 2 of his career, getting a lot of production from freshmen. Bo Pettersson had another goal. Alexander Vardaro had an assist. Just a really good, complete team win. Next up is Rutgers, and for a lot of times and a lot of years, Princeton could just say, oh, it's Rutgers. We're going to win this game easy. We'll take the Maestro Cup and go back home. Rutgers now has established itself on the national stage. They're thinking of playing deep into May. They have a lot of really solid pieces in place, and they start with the guy who may be the best goalie in the country. What do you see from them?
This is a really good team. I mean, this is a program that's currently ranked higher than us. They've done a nice job. They're a big, physical, fast team. New coaching staff in terms of assistant coaches, so some new systems we've got to prepare for. Coach Kachi coming from Towson, Coach Saramet coming from Air Force, and Coach Brecht is the head coach. Just a really good program. I think that they're always athletic, they're always long, they're always physical. They do a good job pushing transition. They run a nice phase in their early offense. So we've got our work cut out for them. We're going to have to really prepare for this group. But this is going to be a good game on Saturday.
And how good is it? I mean, I think it's really good that Rutgers has elevated its program. So now, New Jersey has four Division I teams, and NJIT beat Monmouth yesterday, which was interesting. But that Rutgers has elevated itself into the national top 20 and has been literally, I think the last 3 years, the first team out of the NCAA tournament. How good is that for Princeton that they have that kind of rivalry?
You know, it's great. And, you know, in my time here in 6 years, it's always been a game. I think even from my first start as an assistant, it was always a very close game. So,
It's not easy to play up there, High Point Solutions Stadium. It's a big football stadium.
No, it's a nice little wind tunnel up there in Jersey. It's a heck of a rivalry. We moved the game to a Saturday, Coach Brecht and I, for a reason. We think we can draw big with the New Jersey local, local fans and the lacrosse fans out there. So we're really excited for this game. This will be a big test for our program.
Weather's supposed to be decent. Supposed to be clear in upper 40s and not bad for mid-March. We will talk about that game next week when we're back for another podcast with head coach Matt Matalon, and then look ahead to the Ivy opener that follows at Pennsylvania. And also we'll have a lot to talk about as well. And as always, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate the support, everyone.
So for Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Matalon, I'm Jerry Price. And as Coach Matalon said, thank you for listening each week to the Princeton LaxCast, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton men's lacrosse.